Hey, welcome back. I'm going to wrap up the show with KER Politics. You know, I just can't help to do this. I know some people might think it's trite, but I think it's incredibly important. Let's talk about what a fool this guy running for governor in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, has really turned out to be.
Yeah, so, okay, in the very, very sad, violent shooting by this crazy kid in Texas, in Uvalde, Texas, that, you know, which is just a horrible, horrible tragedy for, and I, of course, feel for all the families and everything. But Beto O'Rourke had been running, he's been running for governor, and Beto O'Rourke had said publicly in his, on the stage in the primaries in his run for president, and this is after his failed Senate run against Ted Cruz back a few years ago, but in the 2020 primaries, he said that, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s away. But he realized in Texas that's not such a good policy as he's running for governor. So during the campaign, he completely changed and said, oh, I'm not taking your guns away. I'm not taking your guns away. Of course, this unfortunate and very terrible mass shooting happens. This kid kills his grandmother, goes into a school, takes law enforcement a long time to get him, and it's sad, sad, sad circumstances. Beto O'Rourke goes storming into a press conference where the governor of Texas is speaking to talk about the tragedy and makes basically a fool of himself, in my view. But then it scrubs his campaign web pages of information on allowing, you know, Second Amendment. So basically, he's flip-flopped multiple times here for political advantages. I think it's a very desperate move. He won the primary here for the governor's race for the Democrats. There's going to be a lot of money thrown at him, very much like the Senate campaign and some of the in the presidential campaign. But like Stacey Abrams of Georgia, all he's done is lost. But,
yeah.
And I just think, you know, that type of flip-flop, and that, you know, he's definitely going to alienate people. You know, the tragedy here is actually continuing to divide people into two camps, you know, mm-hmm. those that support the Second Amendment and those that don't. And here's the reality. The Second Amendment is in the Constitution. You're not going to change it anytime soon without absolutely authoritarian control to do so, which is what apparently many of the Democratic Party would like to see right now, because they're going to use this to their political advantage,
sure,
in spite of the fact that this kid broke every law in the book, and it wasn't about the guns. It was about the, you know, what he was willing to do and the just absolutely sad circumstances of both his personality, what he was going through, what was happening in the education system, like we talked earlier, and frustration, and just, you know, a complete sad event. And the politicians using this, I think, are going to find that they're doing it too early before the November elections. And they're going to try to ride this along with the Roe v. Wade issues as, again, a distraction for the failed policies of the border, the failed policies of the economy, failed foreign policy that this administration and this Democratic Party has brought upon America.
I don't disagree. You want to get over into the primaries now?
Well, you know, we had some interesting, things that happened in the primaries. There were some, I think they still haven't come to a final conclusion. I'm doing a recount. I think it'll be due next week for the Pennsylvania primary with Oz. He was in the lead by a very small number of votes, I think less than 1,000, and we'll see what happens with that. And of course, that was a Trump-supported position that a lot of, you know, conservatives were like not happy with Trump supporting him, but they were looking, I think the Trump team, unfortunately or fortunately, was looking at it like, hey, we want someone that can win in the general election.
Right.
And the Kathy Barnett, the young black woman who had a very, very intriguing story they pushed out, and the other candidate who's now fighting and with Oz for the
mm-hmm.
final.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to, it's kind of an ugly circumstance.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens after that. That's one case. McCormick is the guy that is actually, they're going into the recount between Oz and McCormick. And Yeah, I think 902 votes was the separation. So
wow, that's
pretty
pretty close.
Yeah. So you see a little bit of confusion there, but it looks like the Trump pick will come out there. Now, Georgia is another case where Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, and Raffensperger, the secretary of state, both ran. Basically never Trumpers. They ran. Purdue was the guy, that former senator for Georgia, that lost in his re-election campaign in this last 2020 election by a very narrow margin because the people were just frustrated and didn't, Republicans didn't come out and vote. Trump supported Purdue, and Kemp stomped on Purdue. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, but basically that throws a very different wrench into Georgia, and Georgia is one of those places that has been very problematic in the vote count in Fulton County and, of course, in other counties in the 2020 election. And both Raffensperger and Kemp, in my view, don't look very good because there's more and more evidence that's coming out that they had problems and they ignored them. And the latest issue is actually when they did the recount in December to declare, you know, by just a very, you know, very small number of votes out of millions that Biden had won. It looks like there's some very significant problems with that recount effort as well as the mail-in ballots and then the potential for other corruption.
Well, we've talked that one into the ground. I don't know. We haven't talked it into the ground because the issue isn't resolved yet, but I agree.
Yeah, well, and it's the most important issue in the nation.
You don't have valid elections. Exactly.
Yeah, so if you don't have free and fair, open, transparent elections, you don't have a democracy. If you don't have a country. And
exactly.
That's the problem.
Let me ask your opinion about something. I'm going to throw kind of a curveball at you here. In terms of the Republicans, the conservatives, we got two guys who I think are pretty important. And I'm taking Trump out of it right now just because that's a real wild card. You got Ted Cruz on the one hand. You got Ron DeSantis on the other hand. Give us a quick opinion on each one of those, will you?
So Ted Cruz has stood out very strongly now as a loyal, you know, he and Trump had a lot of falling out in the primaries. Of course, Trump made some very nasty comments about Ted Cruz and his wife. So that wasn't very good, but they've mended fences because Ted Cruz very much understands the Constitution, what it's about. So, but he's not posturing. It doesn't look like he's running around trying to gain the requirements, the financial funding, and the notoriety to run as for a presidential campaign. Because I think he knows that Trump will probably be in it. Yeah. I'm going to say the same thing. So I think he'd be a very strong candidate. He's a very strong constitutional guy. People are beginning to see him beyond, you know, something else. And I think he's probably thinking long term here.
Yeah.
I think Ron DeSantis is the same thing. I think they're both, they have the fundamental beliefs that Trump does. And remember, this is not a, people try to paint this as a Trump issue. It's not a Trump issue. Americans responded in the 2016 election because of the frustration over what had been going on in the Obama administration. And of course, you know, the pushback and the anger that potentially got Biden 81 million votes, very questionable, is really about the direction of the nation and who represents that best. Ron DeSantis has done phenomenal things in Florida. But he also is looking, I think he's loyal to the fundamental ideologies of keeping America first and doing the right thing for the people. And in a conservative view, I think he's focused on Florida right now. And I think he's got to win this reelection. And then I think, again, he would be a phenomenal candidate, but he'd be a phenomenal vice presidential candidate 2024. And that's where I think things are headed.
I think both those guys, both DeSantis and Cruz, I think you're looking, I think really, I've pretty much given up on Trump not being in there. I think Trump is going to be there, and I think the strength of the party is going to lie into the, quite frankly, the vice presidential candidate. Having said that, I'm looking forward to this upcoming election. I don't want to say it could be the last one that I'll ever see because I don't think that way, but I think it's going to be an absolute spellbinder on the one hand. I think it's going to be truly interesting, and I think, quite frankly, it's going to represent, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the future of our country.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.